This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor with Jeremy Zachas. He is in New South Wales, and we've been discussing the extreme climate swings in Australia. What doesn't swing extremely, what goes very slowly, takes its time, is a koala bear crossing the road. I didn't believe it at first when I saw the headline, Man Rescues Koala Bear. This turns out to be not just any old road. This is the Gold Coast Highway at a place called Burleigh Heads, 50 miles south of Brisbane. And a koala decided to cross the road. I don't know whether this koala is familiar with the traffic, but from what I saw from watching the video overhead, there's a lot of traffic. This is a four-lane, two-lane this way, two-lane that way. And what we have here is an Irishman who's living in Australia with his wife. His name is Will Thornton. Jeremy, have you ever seen anything like a koala bear crossing a road?
Honestly, John, I've never seen this in my life. It's incredible too, because you described it correctly. The Gold Coast Highway is a busy highway. This isn't just a normal side street. This isn't just a place where you'll get one or two cars maybe a minute. This is actually a place where there's major trucks, a lot of vehicles go through, because it's a main artery from the south into Brisbane, the capital city of Queensland. So the fact that this koala chose to cross the highway there is unusual, because koalas, they are actually pretty risk adverse. They do not like noise, and trucks and cars would obviously scare them. But honestly, John, this koala was not in a hurry at all. And I mean, thank goodness that that Will was there, this Irishman. Otherwise, I don't know how it could have ended up. But I think the more amazing part is that Will took the initiative to actually get down there and stop traffic and slow traffic down on what is actually, it's an 80-kilometre section. So it's about a 55-mile-an-hour section of road. So we're not talking about a side street at all. So, John, this is a fantastic story and something I've never seen before.
He and his wife were having a coffee, he says, on the balcony. We noticed a koala coming out of the tree below us, and I thought it was pretty cool. Now, Jeremy, there are a lot of koalas. They're not bears. They're koalas. A lot of koalas. How do they get across a road? Because this is unusual. How do they do it?
Yes, and this is a cool Australian thing, John. This is something that's very unique to Australia. In some states, especially areas where there's high koala populations, what the local councils do is they basically create a structure, a netting structure, which goes up the side of basically a major freeway and then crosses over the top of the freeway at a height of about 20 feet. So what the koalas learn is that they climb up this netting like they're climbing up any tree, and they can actually cross the road in the air. So they'll go across the top of the road, never actually getting down onto the road. And that way they can kept completely safe. And this is something very interesting about koalas. They do work this stuff out very quickly. So if a koala identifies there is an aerial passage or some kind of a bridge over a highway, such as these ones made by many councils, they will use them. And Queensland is one of those places that they do build these aerial bridges. But ironically, where this crossing occurred in the Gold Coast Highway, Burleigh Heads region, there is not a lot of bushland around. So there's not a lot of call, I guess you could say, for these aerial freeways for the koala. So this poor old koala, I guess you could say, had no other option except, you know, do it the human way. Let's go by road.
We have to emphasize here, the koala moved very slowly. So that Will Thornton's out there holding his hands up, casually dressed, it's summertime, casually dressed. He holds his arms straight up. He's a big man. The cars didn't really understand what he was doing. I mean, I can imagine they're thinking, who is this nut in front of me? Because they're moving, Jeremy, I'm going to guess they were moving more than 30 miles per hour, maybe more than 40 miles per hour, sometimes up to 50. They were zooming past. And some of the cars slowed down. Some just sort of slowed a little bit, then crept on. I don't think they entirely knew that it was all about a koala. But the koala gets to the midline, the midstrip, and it pauses. It decides he's going to go on. Will then says, okay, I got to finish the job. He goes out and he holds his arms up again. A bus sneaks by. A big bus sneaks by. The koala, completely indifferent to what's going on around it, continues to wander. Can you call a koala a drifter? Because it wasn't much of a walk. It was kind of like sideways. Is that how they move?
It certainly was, John, and that is actually very typical koala. Koalas are never in a hurry to go anywhere at the best of times. I think the beautiful part, as you pointed out, was midway through its journey, it decided it was going to have a little break. It was just going to take a look around right in the middle of this main freeway, and it didn't have a care in the world. It knew it didn't have to be anywhere anytime soon, so it just enjoyed itself. And again, the fact, too, that traffic coming along at about 50, 55 miles an hour was able to slow down enough to actually avoid it. That's the incredible
credit
part of the story.
To drivers. I hope they saw themselves afterwards on the video, because I think it got big play in Australia, because they were responsible enough to realize maybe this tall man is a crazy person, but maybe I should slow down and not. And there were there was no honking. No one honked at him that I could see. And the koala reached the other side and went up a gum tree. Now, we leave the koalas wandering the road. The punchline to how does a koala get to the other side of the road? It crosses the road. That's how it does it. Okay. And koalas, by the way, are endangered. We worry about koalas because their habitats have been destroyed. Jeremy grew up with koalas. You didn't quite have a pet koala, right? You just had a neighborhood koala.
No, that's right. We had them in our trees, and we actually saw several koalas in several trees, but we never had it as a pet, because koalas, as cute and cuddly as they look, they do have very sharp claws and actually do have teeth as well. So they are fairly aggressive if they feel threatened. But, you know, I grew up with them everywhere. I was used to seeing them all over the place.
Now, another creature is the red-bellied black snake, second most venomous snake in all of Australia. Everybody in Australia will try to kill you after being friendly, except the koala. Now, we come to the red-bellied black snake. Who would mess with a red-bellied black snake? It can be 5 to 6 feet long. It's quite thick, got a rouge belly, and it stays back. It's not aggressive, unlike the eastern brown snake or the giant brown snake, which is extremely aggressive and the number one venomous snake in Australia. So this is just like Predator versus Godzilla, because they take on each other. Now, Jeremy, my measure of brown snakes is that they're not as thick and big as red-bellied black snakes. Is that generally true?
That's very true. The Great Eastern, the brown snakes in general, the entire brown snake family, including the Great Easterns, the Eastern brown snake, and all the lower variants, they're actually a fairly skinny, nimble snake. And that's part of the reason why they're so aggressive and so dangerous, because they can move very, very quickly just because they do have that smaller body. And when you compare them to, say, a red-bellied black snake, you could think of them as probably about half the diameter of a red-bellied black snake. So quite a bit smaller.
Okay, so which is Predator and which is Godzilla? We'll say red-bellied black snake is Godzilla, and eastern brown snake or great brown snake is Predator. You assume you'd put your money on the big one. Well, you'd be wrong. What do we see, Jeremy? Without getting too gory, what do we see?
Well, John, this is an incredible story from South Australia, in a place called Onkaparinga, which is just south of the capital in Adelaide. And what has happened is on a general walk in the sand dunes down there at Onkaparinga, somebody has come across a fight between a brown snake and a red-bellied black snake. And this wasn't just any fight. What they found was the brown snake was in a tussle with the red-bellied black snake, wrapping itself around the red-bellied black like a python, which is something you generally don't see a brown snake do, I might add, as well. This is something very unusual. And then if that wasn't enough, that the brown snake was trying to basically constrict and crush the red belly to death, the brown snake then proceeded to swallow the red-bellied black snake whole. So if we go back to just a few moments ago saying that the brown snake is only about half the diameter of the red-bellied black snake, that in itself is quite an amazing feat. And after there was really only about 5-10 minutes of this tussle going, lo and behold, the brown snake won. So when we start to, you know, put our money on which snake's going to win a fight, Godzilla versus Predator, it looks like in this case, Predator had the win. But John, this is truly amazing. I don't know how the brown snake managed to not only eat it, but also digest a snake of that size, as particularly a venomous one.
With that amount of venom. Now, I apologize for those not giving you a reptile warning, but there was no way to do this. We had cute koala being rescued by a friendly Will Thornton of Queensland. And then we had a Predator versus Godzilla. So in future, we'll give the reptile warning again. Jeremy Zakas of New South Wales, we're on to a cricket lesson. There's a lot of action in cricket. Ever since I discovered the game, and Jeremy's helping me understand, there have been all these changes, and they're still going on. There's a new rule coming, maybe. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.